time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
It sure is, and you're welcome listening to The Wire with James. It's currently 13 minutes to 1. So this week I talked to Brooke reasonably early in the morning, which is why you might sound a little bit tired, but that's not to worry because we started off by chatting about some of the new laws that the government is planning to bring in. So that gangs are going to be cracked down a little bit more around gun ownership and the use of assets, and comparing assets which have been gained but would not be possible underneath a legitimate known income. And then after that, we have a chat about the motion that Brooke put forward in Parliament last week, which did pass through, however, did not have the wording that was originally posed. And she put through the same wording that had been posed in the UK, but the mentioning of genocide had to be removed for Labour to accept it. So I talked to her about some of the implications around that and what this means going forward when it comes to talking about human rights in New Zealand. And then we finished off by talking about unionism and the government introducing compulsory unionism and what ACT's standpoint is on this and why they feel it isn't a good move for this country going forward. So here's Brooke. So this week I wanted to start off with the new order the government plans to introduce to crack down on gangs. So what are ACT's thoughts on this?
Well, we are very much in favour with the intention that the government's come out with yesterday about cracking down on gangs, because it appears that the government has essentially just re-announced an ACT Party policy from the 2020 election. And that's this, that we need to be hitting the gangs harder and where it actually hurts. Because if you look at any of the firearms changes that have happened over the last few years, there hasn't been a single gang member that's been handing back their firearms. So the government, through those laws, has been targeting law-abiding firearms owners and not the gangs. So we're saying, look, gang crime and gun crime has been on the increase in New Zealand, and it is a real concern, because at some point, some poor member of the public is going to be swept up into gang violence through no fault of their own, and that's going to be extremely messy. So we do actually need to take a strong stand on the gangs because it's a huge safety problem. So if we're looking at how do we do that, well, currently the government has powers to seize assets, but they have to go through many, many different tests to get to that point. What ACT is saying and what we believe the government is now saying is that they want to increase the powers of the police to be able to seize assets connected with significant criminal activity. So if you have a big meth ring, for example, and the government busts a huge meth dealing operation, and they see that there is also an illegal firearm and it's been in the hands of gang members, without needing to go through all of the current hoops that they do, the police would be able to seize those assets.
Is there anything ACT would want to see added onto these new orders and amendments to law?
Well, we'd have to look at them in greater detail first, because I still haven't actually seen them. I just know of the intent behind them rather than the law and the legal wording. So I'd reserve my judgment about what I would like to add, but I definitely think this is a step in the right direction, and we're just glad that the government is taking the ACT Party's policies essentially on board.
Okay, so continuing on from what ACT's been doing lately and things that ACT have been putting forward, last week, right after we talked, you went into Parliament and put forward your motion around China's committing of a genocide. So do you feel you achieved what you set out to do in Parliament?
Well, it's crazy to think that that was a whole week ago now, but I do think it's been a step in the right direction. I am still saddened that we needed to soften the language around a hard issue, and we couldn't get the word genocide over the line, but we did manage to make a united front within New Zealand politics. That said, there are severe human rights abuses occurring within the Xinjiang region of China. And I think that has been a really positive step. And I think it's quite powerful that 120 members of parliament made that statement. But I do still hold in my reserve this idea that the government is shying away from calling out human rights abuses because they're more concerned about trade issues.
So going forward, considering there was the removal of the word genocide, but it still went through Parliament and there was support for it, what do you think this means for talking about human rights issues overseas going into the future?
Well, I think we need to be looking stronger at how do we make the divide between foreign affairs as issues and trade as issues. And I think we get into a real difficult situation if we as a democracy elect members of parliament to represent us down here in Wellington and we're too afraid to talk about human rights because it may offend somebody or some other country overseas. And I think that's a type of New Zealand that I don't want to live in. I want to live in a country where we can debate hard issues and we can call out abuses where we see them. And I think hopefully in the future, members of parliament will be able to take more motions into the House, be able to talk more about human rights abuses. But sadly, I don't actually think that will happen. But the ACT Party will be here calling for people to take more motions to the House.
So lastly today, I wanted to touch on unions. So ACT has opposed the idea of compulsory unions, but surely doesn't this give workers a platform to exercise their rights of free speech?
No, that's completely different to what I think of the union. I think there is an ability for people to have a say in unions, but you've just got to look at what has happened to the unions over the last 30 or so years. I mean, membership of unions has gone from about 70% to 20% over the last 30 years. So people have literally used their feet to show whether or not they actually want to be part of a union. What these rules that the government announced last week do is essentially make unionism compulsory. So even if the majority of a workforce don't want to be part of a union, they'll be forced under the same conditions that their union members are. So the proposal is that if you are, say, you're a mechanic and you've got 10% of mechanics want to start a process to say that they want a better pay, better conditions, even if 90% of mechanics then went and said, no, we're absolutely fine, we don't want any of this change to be had, and if they voted that down even twice, those 10% of workers who are mechanics would be able to say, well, we're taking our claim to the Employment Relations Authority, and then the authority would still be able to force conditions on those 90% of people who didn't want them in the first place. So it is essentially compulsory unionism. But the problem is that the advice that the government received from their own advisors said, there is no problem to be solved and there's no policy response that needs to be done as well. So what is the problem that they're actually trying to fix?
In many situations, a union, even if they do only include a small portion of workers, they do end up representing the whole body of workers regardless. So does this not mean that previously people who were misrepresented will now be able to make their voices heard because they know that they are going to be part of a union?
No, I disagree. I think if people want to be part of a union, then they should be allowed to be part of a union. But the majority of the workforce have decided, in most cases, that they don't want to be part of a union. So what is the problem that the government is essentially trying to solve? They're forcing work conditions on people who never wanted them. But the current law, under our current system, we already have a lot of protections for workers' rights. We have the minimum wage. We have protections for businesses that are sold for employees. We have non-discrimination laws. We have dispute rules. All that this does is take us back to an idea that was popular 50 years ago that never got off the ground. So I think we need to be starting to look to the future and what we want our work conditions to look like rather than back to the past.
If the percentage of people who had to be in a union, because it's at 10% currently, if that was higher, would ACT support anything like this?
Oh, we don't support any form of compulsory unionism. We've been completely opposed to that. I think workers should be able to set their own rights and their work conditions. But the real issue here is if you had an industry where only 10% of people were unhappy with their conditions or wanted to force a different type of condition on their workforce, why is it then that 90% of all other people in that same sector, even if they wanted nothing to do with it, would be forced to have changes to their contracts? And I think that is a real issue. It's not a freedom of speech issue. It's an issue of the government getting involved in industries and setting the standards rather than the industries and the people who are happy to work in them setting them for themselves.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.